right, let's go.
It's gonna be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis football is hit.
Who's gonna go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored
every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
And welcome back to another great Inside Ben Davis Football. It is the final Inside Ben Davis Football of the year. And we, are, of course, are live from Arby's across the street from Ben Davis High School. Once again, I'm LeVon Deering. Joining me is Jeff Robinson.
I'm back for one last time here.
John Easter.
Good evening, LeVon.
And, of course, the head coach of the now state champions football team, the one and only Mike Kirshner.
Thanks. Glad to be here, and you can actually say it is our last show and not jinx us about it. Well, maybe there's another one, maybe there's not. So you're off the hook this week, buddy.
We actually have a bona fide crowd here tonight. So, hey, crowd out there.
We got about 12 people. It's amazing.
Hey, yeah, there's one person who, but they're all eating. So
yeah, they're having the great Arby food that's here tonight. Well, that's here every night.
Right.
Arby doesn't go anywhere.
Had my fries for the last time.
And by the way, thanks to Arby's all season long and
absolutely.
JC
absolutely.
And everybody here for putting up with us and taking care of us all year. This is a great relationship that we built with them. We really appreciate them. Hopefully they'll have us back next year.
I'm in.
I know I won't be here.
No.
I might be in the crowd, though. Who knows? I don't know. I can't stay away from Ben Davis for too long. It just hurts me. But nonetheless, as we get into it here, 42-24 final score between the Ben Davis Giants and the Carmel Greyhounds in the second ever Class 6A State Championship. Why don't you tell us how that game went?
Well, you know, I don't know what your seats were from or where you were watching the game from, but it probably didn't start off the way we'd written the script or the way anybody thought. I mean, Carmel kind of jumped out on us, got up to 17-0 very early in the second quarter, and right after they scored, they kicked one really deep after they'd gone up 17, and questionable call on whether or not the ball had crossed the plane, but they said it hadn't. Jordan Wilkerson took off with it and made a beautiful return, made several nice cuts, reversed his field, and kind of got a little bit of momentum switched on us, got us a short field. Offense took care of the ball, drove it in, made it 17-7. And then something different happened. I mean, we played defense. From that point on, it was as good as our defense had played all year. And somebody said, well, what'd you do differently? Well, we'd actually changed up several things scheme-wise. We'd moved some personnel around. You guys saw Asmar playing free safety instead of inside linebacker. Will Pate started at inside linebacker in place of Asmar. We rotated our outside linebackers a little differently. The scheme with our defensive ends was quite different. And early in the game, our kids were not adjusting to what Carmel was doing with the new scheme and how we were playing it. And that was causing us some problems. Once they settled down and started adjusting to it, good things started happening. We started forcing them to punt. We were able to close the gap to 17-14 at half. And somebody said, what'd you say to them at halftime? That kind of changed the momentum. I'll be honest with you, there was no magic. There was no yelling. I mean, you're game 14. You're week 15. There's nothing you can say. I honestly said, in my opinion, you know, watching them play that last few minutes of the second quarter, I thought Carmel looked tired. I really did. I thought they had their hands on their hips and were struggling for air a little bit. And I said, it's what you want to do. You know, do you want to finish the chapter? And when you put the end at the bottom of the last chapter, is it we won or we were close or how do you want to finish it? And I said, I think they're ready to be pushed off the edge, so go out and push them off the edge. We went out there and got the lead right away, made it 21-17, then forced a turnover and made it 28-17, then forced another turnover and really kind of got rolling and got down there close. And then, you know, we called the fake field goal and it worked, and it's 35-17. Then you get the ball back and Chris Evans house is about a 40-yard run, and it's 42-17, and you're you're kind of celebrating. I mean, did sit here and say that I thought we'd hang 42 on Carmel? No. I mean, going into it, I thought it'd be a 28-24, 28-21 game in our favor. I really felt like we were doing some good things. I felt like they would struggle with us offensively. We weren't playing in the rain. We weren't playing in the wind. We were going to be able to throw the ball, and we did. We threw the ball well. We ran the ball well. Having Tate back running the ball hard helped. And so kicking game was solid. You know, we punted. Had two punts for a 41-yard average. Converted all our PATs, executed a fake field goal. It was a great game, and it was an even better atmosphere. If you're a West Side person and you were a Ben Davis person, to see, and I don't know how many people we had there, but I have not seen that many people wearing purple and white ever, and I've been here 15 years.
It was interesting that you really got your best defensive scoring output in the state championship game after making some changes. Talk in particular about the move to put Asmar Bilal at free safety. And also I heard a lot of talk about Omar Beasley's play at linebacker.
Omar played extremely well. I'll start off with Asmar. We decided to move Asmar to free safety. We knew Victrup would probably be back, but we knew he'd be a little bit rusty. They hadn't shown any inclination to wanting to throw the ball. With James in the pocket. We thought Asmar gave us the best chance of getting a very fast athlete in the alley who could tackle very well. Cortez and those guys have been our free safety all year. They've done a great job. They're just not as fast as Asmar. You got a kid that's going to Notre Dame. He ended up with 12 tackles on the night. Let's put him in a position where if they do break it, he's at least got a chance to bring him down, and we'll make him play another play. That was number one. Omar struggled a little bit early. One of their big touchdowns, I think their 30-some yarder with Pascal, was really Omar's fault. He jumped the jet sweep. He wasn't supposed to be playing the jet. He was supposed to play the one back the entire time. Once we got him settled down and quit looking at other things and focus on the one thing we wanted him and Will Pate to focus on, good things started. I think Omar finished with 10 tackles and had some really good hits. He played, because Omar didn't play real well against Center Grove, but he played like he played against Warren. He got a little dinged against Center Grove. He was fighting a shoulder injury. So, add to that, we're coming home from Lucas Oil on Wednesday night. We went down there for practice, and I turned to Scott Williams on the bus ride home, and I said, you know, I know our defense has been much maligned, and rightfully so. We've given up a lot of big plays, big points. I said, I just want them to show up one time and play the way we see them in practice play. And honestly, for the last three quarters of that game, you saw the defense we see every day in practice just didn't always show up on game night.
Coach, you know, you talk about how Carmel came out of the gate a little bit. They had been there a number of times before, and a lot of their players had been there. How much of that was just adjusting to the entire situation being the state championship game?
Well, I'm sure there were some. You know, Carmel's been there. Kevin's gotten them back three out of the last 4 years. They won it in 2011. They were state runner-up in 13. So even those kids that were seniors, some of them probably went with Kevin when they were freshmen. So their mentality is, we've been there, done this. Our kids came out, you know, huge crowd. I mean, both sides, really. Huge crowd, big atmosphere, under the lights, you know, media, press, people going nuts. They're regulating what we do, who I can talk to. State troopers are walking me out like we're Alabama or something, and I'm looking at them going, come on. You know, if anybody wants a piece of me, they can have it. I'm done. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, but it was, so you get all that atmosphere. You get all that hype, all that fluff that goes along with it. And, I'm sure it's a little bit of deer in the headlights mentality. Our kids have never been there other than a regular season game, which is good, but not the same. I mean, you're really playing for something special. And our kids are still walking around school smiling from ear to ear. And just, you know, we're getting ready to take the state championship picture with the team tomorrow afternoon and, you know, getting ready for the banquet. And I've got people asking me to bring kids for this appearance and a Lions Club breakfast and a leadership conference and
radio show.
And they're wanting us to do a tour of the middle schools when we come back from Christmas break. And there's just a lot that goes with it. So, I'm sure there was some effect to that. And But at the same time, you know, they got down 17, and everybody's like, wow. You know, I talked to Paul Condry from Regional Sports, and I talked to Dick Delahan, who was on the radio, and Dave First, Channel 6, I was down there Sunday night, and they were like, you know, you're down 17, and we're already getting ready to write your obituary. You know, it's bad. And I said, then you really hadn't watched enough of our games during the year. 17 was like peanuts to us. You know, now you get to 50 maybe, but with our offense and the explosive in our offense, you know, there wasn't any panic on our sideline. It was really nobody's yelling, nobody's screaming. It was just play. Just go do what we do, and we'll see what happens.
Well, before even the game, I know when you guys end up leaving here, a lot of support. You guys have been talking about how this is not just the team's win, this is an entire community win. But one of the things I think a lot of people are going to remember was the 10th Street lineup, where there were fans all up and down 10th Street supporting. How was the team when they saw this, especially being so trying to stay so focused?
It was really kind of special. I think it kind of took our focus off the game a little bit as they're watching. I mean, as we're entering the interstate, the Dr. Butts is standing right there at the exchange screaming and hollering, and there's your superintendent of schools, you know, a guy with unbelievable passion, enthusiasm for Wayne Township and Ben Davis High School cheering us on. So, you know, I just kind of look back on the bus as you were watching, and you could just tell the kids are like, wow, we're getting ready to do something that's special, that may not be duplicated ever again. And, you know, in 2001, 2002, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think we might have been a little complacent. You'd won at 99. You'd been to the Final Four, you know, what, 95, 96, 97, 98, yeah, one at 99,
game 96.
Final Four in 2000, championship in 2001, 2002. And sometimes it gets to be old hat, and people don't get, well, that's just, it's been 12 years. We'd only been the Final Four 2008 in that whole period. And so it was new, you know, to a lot of teachers, a lot of students. And so I think they kind of grabbed hold. I think it was a special moment in time for this township.
Obviously, you go back to 2002. The West Side seems a lot different than what it was then. You've been with the program throughout that time, not all the time as head coach. So what did it really take to really recoup where things were back in 2002 to get another state championship for Ben Davis?
Well, it takes a little bit of luck. It takes a good coaching staff, not a head coach. It takes a good coaching staff.
And the head coach. I can say that.
Yeah, you can. It really takes a staff. It takes an administration, Sandy Squire, John Clark, Dr. Butts, who believe in what we're trying to do for kids and not get caught up in wins, but what we're trying to do for kids. It takes teachers who remember what the past was like, and I'm going to share something with you. Sherry Grammer, one of our math teachers, great teacher, came to me after we won the semi-state and said, you know, I was here as a student. She was on the state swimming championship teams back in the 70s, but I was here when we started winning state titles in 87, 88. And she says, we used to do something really neat. We used to bring the team in and have a pancake sausage breakfast. And the teachers made the pancakes and the teachers served the breakfast. And she goes, somewhere along the way, we lost that. And she goes, there's only about nine of us that even remember doing it. That's how much change has taken place. And she goes, I want to bring it back. And so here Tuesday morning, last week, Tuesday morning, here's 200 football players plus cheerleaders, managers, and they're all being served breakfast by teachers. And it's like, you know, they were trying to bring back some of their memories. And so when you have that base of teachers and administrators and coaches, and then you add to that a senior class of football players that it truly epitomize the student athlete. You know, Asmar and Justin Brandon and Chaz Stringer and Rashawn Bond and True Smith and Jalen Hart, they're all good students. Kyle Kastner, they're great students. They're not just good, they're great students. You got what you call the perfect storm. Everything falls into place, and then the job of the head coach becomes turn them loose, let them play, enjoy the ride.
Well, that's going to do it for the first half. When we come back here, we're going to bring in another guest as well with us. Just happens to be the quarterback of the state champion team. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
And welcome back here to Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the Arby's across the street from 10th Street, but from Ben Davis High School. Once again, I am LeVon Durden. Joining me is Jeff Robinson.
Hello.
John Easter.
I'm a little busy, LeVon.
Oh, we have a little busy,
LeVon.
I know you
there
are.
We go.
But I got to keep this moving. Coach Mike Kirshner.
Hey, good to be back.
You did turn it
for this final segment.
There we go. Let's try that again.
Okay.
Back for the final segment. Here we go.
And then our secondary guest here tonight is the quarterback of the Ben Davis State Champions, Kyle Kastner.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start us off. I'm going to actually bring the first question to Kyle. How does it feel to bring back another state championship back to Ben Davis?
It's unbelievable. The feeling is so surreal. Very happy that we got to do this and got to win for the coaches and the community and obviously the team. It was an unbelievable experience, and I'm so happy that I got to be a part of it.
Kyle, I know you guys had some early losses in the tournament during your sophomore and junior years. What about those past years really helped propel this team to become the state champion?
We definitely remember those losses to Pike, especially. We don't really like them very well, but we played great against them, played great against all the teams that we faced this postseason. And we fought through a lot of adversity, obviously, being down so much, having to come back. But that just shows what this team can do, and we're a great team.
You know, Kyle, as you look back at the you know, 4 years now, and then the 3 years that you've been the starter, and the growth that you made as a football player, what do you think is the most significant thing that has changed within you? Because you've had a lot of, I mean, you've had a lot of disappointments over those 4 years. You've had a lot of success over those 4 years. Obviously, you're going to leave with just about, if not all the passing records, pretty much. Anything else?
I was looking at him today. I think there's one. Touchdown passes in a game.
Oh,
well. I think the record's 5 and you had 4. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right.
I think that I was going through them today because I was trying to update all the stats and the final things for the banquet. And I think that's it. Passing percentage, yards in a game, completions in a game, attempts in a game, yards for a career, yards for a season.
It's remarkable.
I mean, it's unbelievable
what you've done. I've seen, you know, I'm old, so I've seen James Banks play. I didn't see Ken Britt. I know he was a great quarterback.
Coach Delahan said on the radio, best pure quarterback
right.
Ben Davis has ever had.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the great quarterbacks that have played at Ben Davis, and you know, your name's at the top of that list. So obviously, you've had lots of success. You've had some disappointments, but this, you know, to finish at the pinnacle, how do you feel you've changed as a person, how you've grown as a person? What specific things do you think have changed within you?
This program has really helped me a lot. I mean, I think I've just grown to be a smarter quarterback. First two seasons, I wasn't fully preparing myself before every game, and I kind of learned how to do that a lot through my coaches, through Coach Ferris. He helped me a lot, especially in my junior season, so I could do that a little more on my own in my senior season. So I think I felt like I went into the games more prepared for what the defense was going to do and more prepared to lead the offense to go against things that we maybe weren't prepared for during the week.
One thing I wanted to bring
up was... Coach has a question.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to bring up, over these several games, you've been known to have sometimes where it's a bad start and great starts. When you do have those bad starts or you don't seem to be going right or you're throwing those interceptions, how do you keep your head? I know, Kirshner.
He tries to get the tough questions.
LeVon's he's the tough one of the bunch here.
How do you keep your head in it? How do you keep the receivers going? How do you guys keep your offense moving?
It's a good question.
I think it goes back to the leadership on this team. The senior leaders are unbelievable. The defense as well. I mean, when I threw that interception, they came on the field, get them next time, and throw, you're all right, we'll stop them. So just knowing that you have that behind you takes a whole lot of pressure off, and especially when you have playmakers on the offensive side, we can score anytime we want. And knowing that, you don't really have that much pressure, even if you throw an interception or we fumble or any of that. So very thankful for all that.
You think about the you talked about scoring when we want. Carmel in their four tournament games was giving up an average of 8 points a game, and we scored 42. I mean, that's not even
in a row.
Yeah, you're not even. I mean, it was six straight possessions, right. Touchdowns. I mean, it was unbelievable. Really, once we get going, even against Center Grove, we're down 45-28, and we rip all four straight scores like we're just going through it like it's nothing.
Taking away the obvious choice being your state championship game, taking away that, what is the best memory you will take away from your high school football career?
The Warren games are always fun. My sophomore year got rained out Friday night, came back Saturday, won 6-3.
6-3 on a 50-some yard field goal by Sterling Stedham. That who had guy. Never kicked a field goal in a game in his life.
And I remember that game. They were just trying to hit you.
They were trying to put you out.
After, during.
Yeah, it was a battle.
Yeah.
I'll definitely remember that one. Obviously, this year's Warren game in the postseason, that'll go down in the books for me. Just knowing that we scored with so little time and just the crowd erupting, it's something that you'll never forget. And the Center Grove game as well. I mean, they're so similar. So those two are pretty special for me.
You mentioned that Warren drive. How do you keep your composure in that kind of situation?
Play calling is big for me. Ferris did a great job. Really confident in the plays that he called, and we were able to execute them. And the wide receivers on the outside knew what they were doing. They're smart. Just like our whole offense is, we're very smart, and found the holes, found the openings, and we played very hard that last drive. We could have easily quit. We got a good, helpful penalty call that set us up to, I mean, continue. I mean, without that, it's tough, but things went our way, and we made the plays when we needed to.
I'll add to that. I think our practice tempo. We practice very fast. In fact, Coach Delahan's come and says, how do you get anything done? You're going so we're trying to correct it on the fly. We watch film that night, correct it the next day. But by practicing fast, when you get in a situation where you got to play fast, it's something they do as part of their memory. So I don't know that it rattles them, you know. And to know that you had a ball with a minute 41 and you ran 14 plays in a minute 41. I'm trying to remember who I was. Was it Dave First I was on the news with? And he goes, how do you run 14 plays in a minute 41? And I said, it was actually a minute 30 because we left them 11 seconds. He goes, that's just hard to fathom. And I said, well, we had a couple timeouts. You get timeouts on first downs. You get out of bounds when you can. And you just play fast. And that's really what it boils down to.
Well, even more amazing, you had running plays in there.
Yeah, we did have running plays.
And I think the another game that stands out for LeVon and I, because we called the end of it, was the Pike game earlier this year. The first Pike game. And the second one was interesting, too, because you know, Jalen Harden stepped up and got the pick six to end it, really. But when you look at that Pike game, it was much the same situation as Warren Central. You got a key penalty during that drive to keep it going. But, you know, we talked about it. It just seemed like the focus from the time you guys got off the bus was to win that game, knowing that you had, you know, it was going to be a nice one drive, one chance that you had to win it. But you know, what's the mindset, I suppose, when you get in those situations? I think LaVon sort of asked the question of, you know, what's your mindset when you get down? But what's your mindset when you got all that pressure?
I think we're so focused that we kind of block everything out. We're so tuned in to what we have to do on that field. And it goes back to practice, like Coach Kirshner said. We run two-minute drill every week, and not knowing that we'd have to do it five times to win. But
while you practice.
Definitely right. Helps. And, again, just knowing the right play calls are there and preparing well. And it's just – that's what it comes down to.
Well, and it was just, you know, just the way that you guys ran those. Do you think that if you had not been a senior and had not had the experience that you would have been able to accomplish those?
It definitely would have been a lot harder. The experience my sophomore and junior year really helped me go into the senior season. And I'm just thankful that I got to have those 2 years to grow as a quarterback.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry, LaVon, I'm stealing questions here, but you're just, I mean, you take a hit, you get right back up. The Warren game, you know, you're obviously in pain most of that game. Still, I guess, feeling a little bit of that pain from the Warren game. And I think back to that first Warren game where they just kept trying to drill you. And you only missed one game, I think, your entire career. That was the Pike game.
Missed the Pike game his junior year.
So how do you get yourself in that shape to take the pounding that the MIC is going to give you?
MIC is unbelievable conference. Week after week, you take a pounding. But my O-line did a great job this year. I don't remember a game where I just absolutely got hammered time after time. I mean, I took some hits, but it wasn't anything like my sophomore year. I think my sophomore year was the toughest on my body, and that was my first year. So I think
we were not very good that year up front at all.
I think that really helped me.
It's what got the O-line coach fired, which at the time was me. I fired myself. I'm not kidding. I was mad at myself that year.
Coach, you're fired. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go over to defense.
That's what I did.
Everybody has that person, or there's the people that got you to where you are today. Who do you give that respect to?
Coaches over time, not giving up on me. My motion's kind of weird, as a lot of people can see on the field. It's different than a lot of people, but coaches really hung with me and really fixed it a lot. I mean, there's still tinkering room to play with, so... Coach Ferris, obviously my offensive coordinator for the past 3 years, we became really close and really knew what we wanted to do on the field as a unit. And Coach Vanderbush, strike coach, and his son, Brock Vanderbush, helped me out as well. And really the whole coaching staff.
Coach Kirshner, how do you go forward trying to replace a quarterback in a class like this? I mean,
great question. Well,
two MIC titles and a state championship. What a legacy.
Yeah. You don't replace the quarterback. You don't replace the seniors. You find a way to take what you have. And we've got some good kids coming back in Story Emerson and Chris Evans, two good offensive linemen in Quentin Tyler and Jaleel Brewer. On the defensive side, you got Will Pate, who ended up being a starter the last couple games. At linebacker, you got a couple outside linebackers. We got a good group. We had a good JV team, a great freshman team. We have to look as coaches, and believe it or not, we already started. If you go into the weight room, you'll see the 2015 schedules up. The attendance boards for December 15th after school weights are up. The slogan for next year's up. The slogan for 2015 is take no days off. You know, all that's up. My brain and as coaches, we're already texting, what about moving this kid here? We got to find a way to take what we have, and it's not the kids. We can't just say the kids that are coming up, if Ajay Cooper is our next quarterback, we can't say he can do the same thing Kyle can. He can't. He can do some things well, all right, and we can find ways to make things happen, but it's not the same. So the 2015 version of the Giants will be significantly different than the 2014, and we got to find a way to put the right pieces to the puzzle and make it work. What we like is we got a good nucleus of kids back that got a lot of varsity experience. And here's something Coach Delian always taught me when he was here and I was an assistant for him, because we'd always go so deep into the tournament. we'd get all these extra weeks of practice. The maturity and the growth we saw in the last three, 4 weeks of a Jordan Wilkerson, who's a backup corner, and Harrison Goss, who's a backup corner, and Ajay Cooper at quarterback, was phenomenal. Pompey Coleman, a big 6'5 offensive lineman. Ahmad Malone, another big 6'5 offensive lineman. Just, and they're both sophomores, just their development was phenomenal. So we're going to take that, and we're going to find a way in the offseason to figure out how the scheme best fits the kids we're going to be playing, and look forward to playing it in 2015 and see what happens.
Well, Coach, you know, this is the MIC, and Kyle alluded to it, how tough it is. This is now the seventh time in 13 times that the MIC has won a state championship. This is the seventh time that the champion has not won the MIC, or yeah, not won the state.
That's because it's
been somebody else from the MIC.
It's tough to beat somebody in the MIC twice. You look at last year, Warren finished 4-3, tied for 4th, 5th in the MIC, turns around and beats us all again. This year we finished 3rd in the MIC. I mean, Carmel was 7-0, Warren was 6-1, we were 5-2, so we're the 3rd best team. And then we turn around and beat Warren and Carmel all over again, on top of trying to replay and re-win games of Pike and Center Grove against two really good teams in the MIC. And so it's tough to do. It's tough just to survive. And unfortunately for us, fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, we don't get to go north and south. I know that sounds like sour grapes, but the reality of it is I don't get to play another team. Like Center Grove gets to play, and I'm not messing with everybody's record, but they get to play Columbus and New Albany, and they may be very good. I don't know, but the reality of it is that's somebody new, and when you're playing new, kids get a little more excited. When you say Kyle's sophomore year, we beat Pike 24-0 regular season. I knew that score was not real.
Weirdest game ever.
That they turned it over 6 times. We blocked 2 punts. It was the score was
weirdest
not indicative of the game.
I
knew if we had to play him again, I was scared to death all year of it. And sure enough, my came to fruition, because we lost 35-25, and we were awful that night. And it's versus, you know, even Carmel. You know, they get to play Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern, then they get to go to a Fort Wayne, then they get to play Penn or whatever. But they get to play new blood. And I know you can't take our conference and divide it up equally around the state, because that just doesn't work geographically. But it's tough, you know. And that's not to say teams like Hamilton Southeastern and Fishers are going to have their years where they're going to take care of us, you know. But right now the MIC is a tough row. The hoe, and then you basically we had to play the MIC twice, and we were able to come out winners the second time.
Right. Now you're MIC champs.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, that's going to actually bring us to the end here, so I guess I want to turn to Kirshner. Do you have anything?
Yeah. Let's start with Purple Rain. You guys were unbelievable. Absolutely some of the best I've seen here. I got to go back to the Adam Clark days, and if you're an old timer, you know who I'm talking about. When Adam Clark ran Purple Rain, he used to make me laugh. He was so good. I mean, he made me laugh. I got to go back to like the 2001, 2002 Purple Rain. You guys were awesome. I would be remiss if I didn't thank Dr. Butt, Sandy Squire, John Clark, Doug Shornick for all the things they've done for me to make this job much, much easier. I need to thank Dennis Goins and BD TV, John Easter and the BD radio here, for going out of their way to cover us, and making it a special moment for everybody. And then the students, faculty, and the fans of Ben Davis football, we're truly blessed to be on the west side. I don't care what anybody says, until you've been here, walked in our walk and sat down and prayed with us, loved with us, you don't understand what we have here. And we have something very special, and I'm very humbled and overwhelmed to be part of something I'll never forget, ever.
And I think a lot of people from this community aren't going to forget this year. It was definitely a big one, but sadly, all things, good things have to come to an end eventually.
LaVon is the truth and lending form of broadcasting.
Yep.
Well, it's clear the 2014 season, the book, I know that's what you guys have kind of called it, the book, is finally being closed. The chapters are all over. But, of course, Inside Ben Davis football and, of course, the football team will return next year for 2015, where they start off not against Cathedral, but Tech.
Tech Titans on the road. And a shout-out to Mark James as they start their season Pike boys basketball Friday night. We need Purple Rain in the house.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a game.
Yep, be a lot of fun.
Rematch of the sectional last year. Well, that's going to do it here. I want to thank Jeff Robinson for this amazing year.
Thank you for having me as part of the show again.
John Easter.
Thanks for having me, LaVon.
Appreciate it.
Coach Kirshner.
Thank you.
And Kyle Kastner.
Awesome to be here. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it. I want to thank
Corey Johnson.
Yep, CJ, Corey Johnson back there in the studio, who's been here all year for us. He's actually been here more than I have. I missed 1 week, and he's not missed any. So I'm not too happy about that. But anyways, that's going to do it here. The Giants, obviously, again, they won state 42-24. That's going to do it here for Inside Ben Davis Football as we send it back to the studio here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.